coat.
Michael just rented The Devil Wears Prada. He has his Netflix sent here to the office, and he watches them in pieces when things are slow.
Steak! Where's my steak?
He's a big Meryl Streep fan, so I shouldn't be surprised that he's identified with her character.
Get me Armani.
A suit?
On the phone?
Like the main company number? Because I'm going to have to call information.
Where's Armani? He's on the phone. Too slow.
You're not going to Paris. I'm so much better than you.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. This is like the third time within a week. Special treat for you guys. Post-draft recap. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. With that, Weiss, let's get into the entirety of the NFL draft. I know we recorded and put out a couple episodes already, but now that everything is sort of coming full picture, we can all take a step back, take a deep breath, analyze everything that the Giants have done, the situation that the Giants have put themselves in, not just for this year, but years moving forward, and some of the comments made by both the general manager, the head coach, and our overall thoughts. So I'll throw it to you to start. We have a lot of thoughts. I mean, I don't really have too much on some of the later round prospects. Some of the picks I had heard of, some I didn't. Just based on some of the preliminary breakdowns we're seeing, there's a lot of potential there. You always love to draft for ceiling, but I'll let you take it away with your overall thoughts.
Yeah, I think the Giants in this draft was more so about the changing of philosophy to me than the players that they drafted. I think what we saw was a more forward-thinking organization, an organization that realizes that tried new things, and I think it'll be beneficial to them down the road. Obviously, we still have to wait and see what happens, but the big one, trading down, getting the first-round pick from Chicago, we talked about it on the last episode, but then what they did in the second round, I thought that was masterful, going from 42 down to 50, getting a third-round pick, and then on top of that, getting a player that, I don't know about you, but I thought was going to go in the first round. I mean, I thought if not the first round, he was going to go in the in
early
the 30s.
Second.
Right.
I would have been surprised if he lasted to 42,
right,
let alone 50.
We talked about it. We said a dream would be Azeez Ojulari at 42.
Right.
But lo and behold, they're at 50. Comes in. It's an instant impact player. But getting that extra draft pick, so huge. And one of the things you and I have talked about, we've been heavy critics of Dave Gettleman. And one of the big things about him was his inability to maneuver in the draft, right? Too many times he's a scout, he has a board. Okay, if this is the way the board is, I'm going to take a player. Not taking into consideration, hey, maybe I can move down a couple spots to get a player. But being able to maneuver in the draft, being able to take two assets and turn them into 5-6 assets, to me, that is the makings of a smart, not just GM, but a smart front office, a forward-thinking front office. And I think this draft, more so about the players, like I said, but this forward-thinking approach, I think, for the Giants will be very beneficial for them down the road. And we can talk about, is it Joe Judge making these moves? Is it Kevin Abrams making these moves? Is it at the end of the day, to me, if the front office is on the same page and they're all in it together and these decisions are being made, it doesn't matter to me if we're given the GM credit or the head coach credit. To me, it's a collaborative effort, I want to think, and I'm very, very thrilled with what happened in the first round and in the second round. And in the third rounds going down, I think what you saw with the Giants was they really, really, really thought they needed to improve the cornerback position. We saw them go out and get Adoree Jackson, but that didn't stop them from adding another corner in the third round and Aaron Robinson. And then obviously in the final pick that they had with Rodarius Williams. It's just, it looks like a team that you know, Dave Gettleman might sit up there and say, you know, it's you still got to be able to run the ball and you still got to be able to stop the run. But his actions say otherwise. And
but he stopped saying that. He's not saying that anymore. Right. So this is, you hit on probably the biggest point that I want to touch on, is that this is a collaborative front office working together. Right. It's a little bit redundant, but they're working together. That's the bottom line. And people on Twitter are praising Joe Judge. They're praising Dave Gettleman. It's a collaborative effort. And you saw the organizational philosophy change when the Giants brought Joe Judge in here. And from the outside, it looks like everyone has bought into that approach. Not just probably from what Joe Judge is bringing in from his experience with the Patriots and how they work and how they maneuver drafts and do all that stuff. But Joe Judge comes in here. John Mara goes publicly and says, we made some miscalculations in 2018. You have Dave Gettleman in 2018 saying, at the end of the day, you got to stop the run, you got to run the ball. Dave Gettleman is now doing press conferences in 2021 saying, it's a passing league, isn't it? So it is a collaborative shift in the organizational philosophy that the Giants have. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, like the way that the trade down in the first round worked was, you know, Dave Gettleman and the Giants were working the phones a couple days leading up to the draft. They sort of established with the Bears, like, hey, we might have something here. Like, let's be in touch, whatever it is. Then they get the phone call. And what happens? Dave picks up. Hello. Okay. Here's Kevin Abrams. Kevin Abrams goes and negotiates the deal. It's a collaborative effort, and you love to see it. Everyone's working together, and it's the philosophy that we have been begging for
right.
for years. Yep. Maximize your draft capital. Understand that this is a process. You're not going to win right away, but you can win in 2 years. You can turn a franchise around in 2 years. And the Giants are on track to do that right now. Because another point I want to hit on, a lot of people upset that they didn't address the offensive line.
Yes.
Okay? Something that we've touched on repeatedly last season in the offseason podcast that we've managed to do. And I get where Giants fans are frustrated because the line itself isn't great. And not only is it not great, they lack depth. Now, they have some experience along that line. You hope Andrew Thomas improves and Shane Lemieux improves. Sorry, Sean Lemieux. And Nick Gates and Will Hernandez maybe finally bounces back, right? You hope for all these things, but at the end of the day, the line is what it is. It's a problem.
It's a lot of hope. It's a lot of hope, and it's a lot of, you know,
right.
wishful thinking.
Right. But this was never a one off-season fix. Because of the mistakes that this team made in 2018 and probably the 2019 offseason, this was never going to be a snap your fingers 1 year turnaround. Okay. The Giants went into this draft and they not only got better now, but they improved themselves for the next 2 or 3 years. And they'll go out and they'll get some veterans, they'll get some camp cuts, some cap casualties to come in here and help along the offensive line because they can't just roll in with what they have now. Okay. I think everyone can acknowledge that. The Giants can acknowledge that. We know that. They can fix the offensive line next season. They'll have more cap space. They have now an insane amount of draft capital to go out there and fix the offensive line. But it's not a one-year fix. And you can clamor that, you know, they could have gotten someone in the third or fourth round. The chances of those guys coming in and making an impact day one are slim. They did that last year.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
They did that last year.
Yep.
They will fix this. And we should all just be thrilled that this is the direction they've decided to go in. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, I mean, you nailed it with the offensive line. I think people, you know, after, if you're somebody that wanted an offensive lineman and you were somebody that was pounding the table for it, the pounding the table should have been in round one, not in round 5, 6, and 7.
Agreed.
Four, five, six, and seven. And I think that, and it, even for me, like I thought, obviously I was big on DeVonta Smith and Jalen Waddle, two Alabama guys, but after that, it was Penei Sewell, the and Rashawn Slater. I would have been fine. To me, I would have been fine if the Giants had taken Rashawn Slater at 11. But with them, but obviously, I would rather take the trade back. So
yes, you know, here's the thing. We got to discuss this.
Yes,
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're here. I got to do it.
Yeah.
The only problem, or there's two problems really that I see with what went down. The Eagles saved the Giants from themselves. Because, we're both Devontae Smith fans. We would have been absolutely thrilled if he was the pick at 11.
Yeah.
In a vacuum. Not realizing that opportunity to trade back was there. If Devontae Smith is still there at 11, I don't think the Giants trade back.
I don't think so either.
And they're in a better position now because they were so bad at keeping it a secret. Because essentially every beat writer was reporting, well, listen, it's going to be one of the two Bama receivers, whoever's there.
Yeah.
And because that was known, the Eagles knew they had to jump the Giants. Bizarre that the Cowboys wanted to collaborate on that, but I digress. And it's just they were sort of saved from themselves in a sense because I don't think they would have traded back had Devontae Smith been there.
Yeah, I agree. I think they were really, really high on Devontae Smith. But back, you know, back to the offense and the line, the thing that really irks me when people talk about, like, we needed to draft a lineman, we needed to draft lineman. You talk about it, if you don't get one in the first three rounds, it's hard, like, 4 to 7 don't make an instant impact. It's rare. Even the number 4 pick last year, Andrew Thomas, struggled out of the gates. It took a while. We saw some improvement late, but it's never immediate with the offensive linemen, specifically tackles. And I think with the additional draft assets that they've accumulated, it allows them to be aggressive at that 53 cut mark in August, where they can potentially, you know, send a late round pick, a 7th round pick, get one of those guys that are going to get cut. But the offensive line, another great point you made, it goes back to 2018. The mistakes that were made in 2018 with Nate Solder, with how they handled the number 2 pick, and then obviously the big investment that they made in the draft with Will Hernandez, it hasn't panned out yet. And because of that, you're seeing that sort of the delay of the rebuild of the offensive line. Now, last year, they went out, they drafted what we hope is their left tackle of the future with the number 4 pick in Andrew Thomas. They went out, they drafted Matt Peart in the 3rd round, used another premium pick on a tackle that they believe can develop into their right tackle of the future, right? And then in the later rounds, they went out and got Shane Lemieux, an interior offensive lineman that they believe can develop into an interior lineman. Shane Lemieux played a lot. He was good in run blocking, struggled mightily in pass protection. But again, they made 3 investments last year. This year, they tried. I believe that they were targeting a couple guys in round 2, Aaron Banks out of Notre Dame, Landon Dickerson. There was talks about him potentially being the pick in the 2nd round. But ultimately, it didn't happen. And they took the trade offer from the Miami Dolphins, and I think that to them that was more valuable than picking an interior lineman at that spot. So the offensive line is still a work in progress. I think they've made strides. A lot of my opinion on the offensive line is going to be determined on how they do this year, and a lot of it's on Andrew Thomas and his development. If he's able to develop and you can check off that left tackle spot, then I think, you know, you can say, okay, we are nearing the end of the rebuild of the offensive line. So they believe they got their left tackle the future in Thomas. They believe Nick Gates can be that center for them. We'll see what Matt Peart can do. He's obviously going to be thrown in there. And then Shane Lemieux and Will Hernandez at the interior spot. Maybe they go out and they get another veteran between now and training camp. I know Trey Turner's a name out there. And I sort of put out a tweet. I just want to clarify. I'm not saying that
the Giants actually had a few people text me about that
right.
tweet.
I'm not saying
I knew what you meant. I didn't think it was that confusing.
Right. I'm not saying that they're signing him. I'm saying that he could be that signing and have that impact as Logan Ryan did. And I would be all on board with Trey Turner. I know he struggled a lot, but in 2019, this guy was a really, really good guard in this league. So I'm excited about what happened with this draft. I know that people are concerned about the offensive line. It is very concerning. But like you said, man, I don't think rounds 4 to 7, there were going to be guys there that could come in and be instant impact guys. I just didn't see it.
And even still, the Giants got help at positions that they need.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, I don't care what you say, they're not set at wide receiver. No. Like, there are still a lot of question marks, both in health and talent,
yes,
on that side of the ball. On defense, they had zero edge rushers last year. Zero. Now they have a guy that can bend like fucking OCU Mignora, and yes, they got him in the second round with trading back.
Yes.
Like, that is the type of shit that we talk about, how good teams do this every year.
I mean, you think before the draft, right, with Azeez Ojulari, there were people saying that he's an option at number 11. Not only did the Giants get him in the second round, they were able to get him after trading back and getting a third round pick. That is incredible value.
That's what we talk about. Yeah. Like, teams that understand where guys are going to fall and take advantage of that. And they played it flawlessly. Of course, there's always the risk that someone jumps you or another team, you're wrong, and they take him. But, I mean, eight spots in the second round for a third? Tremendous.
You can't.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you look at, I put this out yesterday to put it in perspective. They took pick 11 and pick 42 and turned them into Kadarius Toney, Azeez Ojulari, a first-round pick, a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a fifth-round pick. Now, I know they used the fifth-round pick to move up and take Aaron Robinson, but that's the return there. And I want to ask you about this first-round pick. If I were to tell you, Ethan, you can have one team's first-round pick next year, right, any team, how many teams would you choose ahead of the Bears?
Oh, man.
Houston? Obviously.
Yeah, Houston, obviously.
The Jets?
And then, no, not the Jets.
See, I know you're a big Zach Wilson guy, so I know you weren't going to pick the Jets. Huge. But I just had to throw it out there.
I mean, I'll talk about the Jets for a second. Dude, like, Mekhi Becton last year, Elijah Vera Tucker,
yeah,
Zach Wilson, they got him Elijah Moore. Like, I mean, talk about how to properly build a team. I mean, all that combined with the fact that Zach Wilson is effectively going to be in Kyle Shanahan's offense, but on the New York Jets. And yeah, they got some work to do on the defensive side of the ball, but they have Robert Saleh as the coach.
Yeah.
I mean, few teams had as good a draft as the Jets are in as good a position as they are over the next few years. But yeah, I'm going to leave the Jets off that list.
So we got Houston. Any Philadelphia, maybe?
Maybe Philadelphia.
Okay. So we got two there.
Maybe the Jags.
Maybe the Jags, okay.
Just because Urban Meyer's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Urban Meyer, I mean, why don't you just come out and just release your draft board? Like, just tell us who you had. Those three teams I had the Jets in there too, because I still think that rookie quarterbacks tend to struggle, and their roster is still not completely done yet. Those were, to me, the four teams I could think about. I couldn't really think about another team that I would want. Miami, I think, is going to be very improved. I don't think they're going to be picking in the top 10. Washington, but I think Washington's defense is going to win them at least 6, 7, 8 games, 9 games maybe. I know it's 17 games now. So I couldn't really think about any other team. So that's like, just think about how valuable that pick is.
Yeah.
And Giants own it for 2022. Now, the Giants have enough assets sitting with them where if Daniel Jones doesn't pan out, they have the assets to go get a quarterback in the draft. Or if they look at their roster and say, you know what, we're closer than to contention, we can take these picks and call Green Bay, right? Or we can take these picks and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's
Seattle. We can skip that situation.
You can call Seattle and offer something like that for Russell Wilson. So they now have the assets. They now have the flexibility where they can drastically improve their roster in many ways. And if Daniel Jones works out and you have a franchise quarterback, then you can continue to build around him using those assets. I mean, it's a great position the Giants put them in. I said it. I thought the players they got last year, I was a big Andrew Thomas guy. I loved Xavier McKinney, right? Shane Lemieux was a guy I really liked in the later rounds. Carter Coughlin was a guy I was like intrigued by in the later rounds. I like the players they got last year, but this draft I like so much more because of the value, because of what they were able to do. Just an incredible, incredible job by the Giants. And really, really, really puts a lot of things in perspective for them, opens the doors for so many things for this team. And I love it, man. I love it. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled.
Agreed. Which where should we go now?
I wanted to ask you, out of all the late round picks, I don't know if you've looked into them or, you know, watched highlights or the all 22. I don't know if you watched the all 22. There's a lot of all 22 on YouTube, by the way.
I'm sure. Have not watched the all 22.
Which one of these? We'll take Azeez Ojulari out, right? We'll take
Kadarius early. Yeah.
Ellerson Smith, Aaron Robinson, Rodarius Williams. And that running back from Arizona, Gary Brightway, right? That's his name?
Yeah.
Gary Brightwell.
Brightwell, okay.
Out of those four, which one are you most excited about? Like, you're like, okay, I'm interested to see what happens with this dude.
Yeah, I mean, I knew very little about these guys before they're drafted. And then once they get drafted, then fine, I'll do my research. That's, you know, I used to be like a huge draft prep guy like 3-4 years ago. Like, I'm doing mocks left and right, I'm writing blogs, I'm like doing research on some of these late round guys, see what they're about. It's exhausting, and there's really no point unless these players wind up on the Giants. So once they wind up on the Giants, then you can, you know, start to learn more about them. To me, it's got to be Ellerson Smith, simply because of the athleticism and the length. His athletic profile. Very raw, very classic Senior Bowl standout. But I watched some of his reps both in college and at the Senior Bowl, came away very impressed, and I can't wait to fall in love with another mid-round pass rusher from the Giants and have my heart broken. So it's got to be Ellerson Smith.
Yeah, I love Ellerson Smith, man. I didn't know Ellerson Smith from I didn't even know who he was. I know there was a rep of him. There was a clip of him at the Senior Bowl that went around. The only guy I really knew from UNI that I actually like looked up once was Spencer Brown, the offensive tackle.
Yeah.
But that was it. But his story is so unique. He came in weighing 190 pounds.
Yeah.
And he added like 70 pounds. Now listen.
Wasn't he a different position, or am I making that up?
I think he was always a defensive end.
Okay.
He might have played other positions in high school, but I think he came in as a defensive end, added like 70 pounds of weight. And listen, the most intriguing part about this is UNI is not Alabama. They're not, you know, they don't have and I love that Joe Judge brought this up too. They don't have the strength and conditioning program. They don't have the overall, you know, ability to it's not a big name program,
right?
So a lot of what Ellerson Smith did, I'm sure, was on his own, and that's it's amazing, his commitment to his body and his weight and being able to sort of get himself to the NFL. And I'm so intrigued to see what happens. I'm pretty sure that Pat Graham is eager to get his hands on Ellerson Smith, because at worst, to me, he's a situational pass rusher. At best, he could be a guy that develops into something that, you know, we haven't had in a long, long time. And him, along with Ojulari, they're very quick off the line. I watched a little bit of Ellerson.
They can play bend. Football.
They can. We haven't had a guy that can bend like that since Osi Mnura.
Right.
It's been a while. And that speed, I am very, very excited to watch them. And now you get into an edge room where you got Oshane Zimenez, Lorenzo Carter coming back from injury. You add on these two guys. They also added Ryan Anderson in free agency. So it is a packed crowd, and we're going to see what happens, what comes out of it. But it's going to be a fun training camp, man. I think every training camp and during the preseason, I always put out like tweets about, you know, who I'm watching, who I'm looking forward to seeing. This year, more than ever, I just want to let everyone know right now, I am watching the cornerback room every single practice, every single preseason game. That is going to be must-see TV. Look at what they have in the cornerback room. James Bradbury, Adoree Jackson, Aaron Robinson, who they just added, to go along with the fact that last year they had Julian Love, Sam Beal's coming back, Isaac Yiadom, just a whole bunch of corners in that room vying for, and obviously Rodarius Williams as well, vying for 5 or 6 spots. It's going to be awesome to watch, man. I think, and you know what else is cool about this? Is I think the Giants at the end of training camp are going to have corners that other teams are going to be calling for and saying, hey, I know you're going to cut this guy. I know you got a crowded room. Let me throw a late round pick at you. Yep, I think that's a very under the radar thing that's happening right now with the secondaries. There's going to be people that call the Giants and possibly look to get one of these corners off of them.
Agreed.
So the cornerback competition this summer is must-see TV. I hope that they were they're not going to, but it would be awesome if they were live streaming these practices because I cannot
or wait. Hard Knocks.
Yeah, hey, or Hard Knocks, right? That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Do you have a problem with the Giants doing Hard Knocks?
No, I don't. I think I didn't want them doing it in past years because I knew that they were just going to be bad. Yeah. Like I enjoy when my team is, but people who follow me on Twitter know this, is both fun and good. If you're fun and bad, I can't appreciate that because if like Saquon Barkley's out there making jokes and then like the Giants go 3-13. Yeah. Then I'm not having a good time.
No.
Like, haha, fuck you, dude. Like, take this shit seriously. Like, I invest so much time into this team, and you're, like, dog shit making mediocre jokes on HBO. Like, I'm sorry. I can't get behind that. Yeah. But, like, now I'm excited about them. They're finally building the right way. Like, yeah, I would absolutely love to see Kadarius Toney have to rap in front of the entire team.
It was actually awesome that Kadarius Toney wrapped his head in a Gatorade towel.
Yeah.
Did you see that? I thought that was amazing. When I saw that, I was like, Kadarius Toney is gonna have 1,000 yards this season.
Like when the team is exciting, like I have no problem with them going on Hard Knocks.
I think they have a good shot. I don't know John Mara how much. I know he has a lot of pull with
a lot of clout.
The NFL. Yeah, maybe he can work his magic and have him avoided. But I would love for the Giants to be on Hard Knocks. Maybe they do what they did with the Rams and have Giants and Jets sort of together. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
We've touched on the draft. You talked about how, you know, you're not really a big draft guy before. You sort of wait until after the draft. I'm sort of the same way. I watched this year about, like, I really studied to get an opinion on them about 60 to 70 prospects. That's usually how much I do. I used to do a lot more. Just take like quick notes on them, do a quick Google search. I would do up to like 100, 120, but not anymore. Like I'm done with that. But I'm with you, man. I sort of wait, let the draft play out. Then I go and watch and I gather an opinion on myself by myself. So Aaron Robinson, I'm interested. He's a very physical corner. People say he's a slot. I'm interested to see what happens between him and Darnay Holmes because I like Darnay Holmes. You know, like, I liked him last year. I thought he played pretty well. So I don't know what's going to happen. They say Robinson can play outside too, but everywhere you look at any draft.
The report on him is that he played a lot of man.
He did. That's the one thing with these corners is they targeted man corners. So that tells you that the guys that they have in their room, even though you might think that, wow, they're – not you, but the public might think, why are they drafting corners? Well, Sam Beal – Isaac, they are on the hot seat. And I think the only way they can keep their spot is if they're able to perform on special teams because I think the Giants really, really like these two guys they got. Even Rodarius Williams, he's a big physical corner. He's 25, but in the Big Ten, one of the things I looked up and I was amazed by this is they score a lot of points in the Big 12. He gave up 0 touchdowns. That's pretty
impressive. Right, I saw that.
It's pretty damn impressive. So we're going to see. I'm excited for this cornerback room and this battle that's going to happen in camp. It's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah. And I love that they're building around it.
Yes.
It is a passing league. Year. Thank you, Dave.
Yes. Thank you for telling stating the obvious. It is a passing league. You need corners. You need guys that can cover. You need a receiver. You need playmakers. And the Giants did that.
2 corners, 2 pass rushers.
And a receiver.
I'm just talking about the defense, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
All right.
Other thoughts?
I think that's it. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has played his last down with the Green Bay Packers?
Yes. I do. And yeah, all right. I didn't want to do this, but we're going to do this.
Okay.
The teams that he is rumored to be connected to, they're simply just not in as good a position as the New York Giants to win and win in the near future. And if John Elway lucks himself into Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers after drafting Drew Lock and Brock Osweiler. Did he draft Brock Osweiler? He traded for Brock. Brock was...
He drafted Brock Osweiler.
He drafted Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking lose it. This guy does not deserve it. I understand that Denver, they still got a great defense. And another Giants connection, Pat Shurmur. If Pat Shurmur lucks his way into Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to lose it. There are so few teams that if they added Aaron Rodgers, like, they could be, like, Super Bowl contenders almost immediately.
Super Why would you want to go contenders or Super Bowl favorites?
Contenders.
Okay.
Because I still, like, Chiefs is still a thing. The Bucks brought everyone back. Like, sorry, but whatever team adds Aaron Rodgers, like, you're not going to be the favorite. You're going to be, like, one of the favorites.
Yeah.
Because think about the Packers. Back-to-back NFC Championship games, that roster is like, whatever. They misused draft assets worse than Dave in 2018. It's like insane. But Aaron Rodgers is engaged to an actress. I can't believe I'm doing this.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers is engaged to an actress. Shailene yes. Woodley.
You're going all first take on me now.
I'm going you're Max Kellerman on you.
Yes, you are. Keep going. Okay.
Who works in Hollywood? Does the Broncos owner work in Hollywood?
John Elway does not make movies.
Does Mark Davis work in Hollywood?
I said John Elway. I'm sorry. I meant the Bolin family. My bad.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Does Mark Davis work in Hollywood? No. He eats P.F. Chang's and gets bad bowl haircuts.
Yeah.
Does Steve Tisch work in Hollywood?
Yes, he does. I think he does.
Yeah. Steve Tisch, yes. I believe he does work in Hollywood.
I think they have a nickname for him, right? What's his nickname?
At least I do. Hollywood Steve.
Hollywood Steve is another one. TMZ Tisch, right?
TMZ Tisch, right? That's the one. TMZ Tisch. New York. Denver. Vegas is good. But like I said, that front office is a fucking joke, and Mark Davis is a joke. The Giants may have been a joke for the last few years, but they still carry that air about them that they are superior to everyone else. There just simply is not a better fit for Aaron Rodgers on a team that doesn't really have a solidified quarterback spot as the New York Giants. That's it. I'm not in Aaron Rodgers' head. I don't know where he wants to go, where his fiance wants to go. But at face value, with the connections and the big city and the direction that the Giants are heading in with the roster that they're building, there just simply is not a better fit in the NFL where you have a team that doesn't have the quarterback's situation totally figured out, that has the draft capital to make such a move. It just makes too much sense. And I know you remember last season when I came on the podcast and I conspiracy theoried my way into Aaron Rodgers' future New York Giant. It just makes too much sense. It just does.
I agree. Now, for the most part.
Back to your original point. Yes, I do think he's played his final snap for the Packers. This is a guy who's made so much money. He's already won a ring. If he's that unhappy, he could just refuse to play. He could retire. He could fucking go host Jeopardy and retire for real. The guy's got options. So I don't think I think these reports are real, man. Like this is like every insider is saying that he is pissed.
Yeah.
He's done. I don't think he plays another snap for Green Bay.
And so many people are surprised about this that I'm just shocked. Like they drafted a quarterback last year and they didn't even call him and tell him. The Bears called Andy Dalton and told him they were trading up to draft Justin Fields.
Giants love Eli, though.
Listen, the Bears called Andy Dalton and told them they were trading up to get a quarterback out of respect for Andy Dalton. The Packers didn't call Jordan Love and tell him, or excuse me, they didn't call Aaron Rodgers and tell him that we are drafting Jordan Love, and people are surprised that Aaron Rodgers is completely done with this organization. I mean, it is, I agree with you, I think he's done. Unfortunately, I do think he's going to Denver. That was the name that immediately came to mind. And I think Aaron Rodgers, the thing about Aaron is, like I said, well, he's 37, right? I think Aaron Rodgers still has 5 years of football left where he's a top five, top 10 quarterback in this league. So if you get 5 years of a top five quarterback and the ability to compete for a Super Bowl, I mean, you said it, if the Giants get Aaron Rodgers, they are a Super Bowl contender. And it's interesting what Dave Gettleman said today, because at his end of draft press conference, or I think it was the second and third round, he said, it's none of my business, right? But then he came back today and was like, well, we explore everything. Mm-hmm. Right? And he stayed committed to Daniel Jones. That's something that he's been doing this whole offseason. But it was pretty interesting that he went that far.
And I, you know what, though? Say, well,
that's not far.
I hope that Dave can get it through his thick skull that if we will forget that he used 6 overall on Daniel Jones in a heartbeat, if he is the GM responsible for bringing future Hall of Fame Super Bowl winner Aaron Rodgers to the New York Giants.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you'll forgive
him. I hope he realizes that.
I think he'll... But the thing is, the thing with Dave is, with Rodgers, I don't know how he'll, if the Giants are willing to be that franchise to hand the keys to Rodgers. The Giants, much like the Packers, still live in this old mindset of, not that he's our employee, but he's our quarterback, he has his place. I don't know if the Giants...
Well, that's another thing that we've spoken about a lot over the last few years, is this whole power to the player situation that we see a lot in the NBA. And it is refreshing to see that starting to carry over to the NFL, because you just see so many franchises mismanaged on a weekly basis that that the ones that are managed properly, if a player is like, fuck you, I'm not playing for you anymore, I want to get traded here, that these players now have power. And a lot of these organizations don't yield right away because they think somehow they can change their mind or wield their power so that they literally cannot leave. No, those days are over.
Yeah, and I think it's not even about player empowerment to me. Like, players are now putting, like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, if you're a top five quarterback, right, or if you're a player at a premier position at the top of his game, you can put the clock on your team. Aaron Rodgers put Green Bay on notice. Deshaun Watson put the Texans on notice. Russell Wilson put Seattle on notice. He said, Seattle, if you don't improve, I'm done. It's not the other way around here. It's not, you're not going to tell me when I'm done. I'm going to tell you when I'm done with you. And I think, to me, with the whole player empowerment, I think in the NBA it's kind of very out of control. I think in many aspects, especially with the whole Anthony Davis going to LA, I didn't like how that thing really played out. And that's a whole other subject. But I think in the NFL, especially with the quarterbacks, we are starting to see more and more franchise quarterbacks put their organization on the clock and on notice. You need to improve. You need to improve in these areas. And if you don't, I will publicly demand a trade.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I'm not seeing a lot of fans turn on Aaron Rodgers because he's demanding a trade from Green Bay. People understand it. Nope, everyone understood why Deshaun Watson wanted out of Houston, right? Russell Wilson was a little bit mixed emotions, but people understood Seattle has not done a good job drafting. They have not surrounded.
And not just that, their entire offensive philosophy is like regressive.
It's terrible. Yeah. So when you have the narrative on your side and people are sort of understanding where you're coming from, it adds more pressure to the organization. And I think what this will do is this will turn bad organizations into better organizations, because you're putting them on the clock. These quarterbacks are putting them on the clock. We can talk about the talent and whether Green Bay surrounded Aaron Rodgers with talent or not. To me, that's not the point. You take Aaron Rodgers off the Green Bay Packers, Devontae Adams is not having another All-Pro season. right? Nobody cares that David Bakhtiari is a top five tackle when he's blocking for a mediocre quarterback. To me, that doesn't mean anything. Aaron Rodgers is the steak. Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, they're just the sides.
I love that.
It's basically what it is, right? And without the steak, who cares for sides, right? I'm not going to go to a steakhouse to order house fries. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, like, fair.
So I think player empowerment is a good way to define it, but I think this is more like players are putting their organizations on notice, and I love that, because no longer can you be a terribly run organization and have a top five quarterback be with you throughout his career. It's not going to work that way.
Yep. All right, let's do some questions.
Do you have them open? I have them open right here.
I have them open as well. We can alternate.
All right, go ahead.
From Minar, given the performance of the defense last year and now with the second year of Patrick Graham, free agents and draft picks, what are the expectations for the defense this year? Likewise with the offense. So I think I was pretty on record after the season in saying that it was going to be incredibly difficult for the Giants' defense to replicate the success that they had. Because a lot of it was predicated on them staying healthy. We all saw what happened when James Bradbury went out. And in a passing league, when you don't have pass rushers, quarterbacks have time to throw, get open, your cornerbacks take penalties. I didn't hate Patrick Graham's philosophy. I mean, I loved it because he did the most with what little he was given. But now they add Adoree Jackson. They add Aaron Robinson. They add Aziz Ojulari. They went out and they made their strength stronger. And now my expectations are essentially equal to last year. I expect this defense to be dominant and will be disappointed if they are not.
Yeah, I think this defense is clearly still the strength of this team, even though they've used a lot of capital in their offense. I think when you looked at, you brought up the point when James Bradbury went out, you saw how different the defense looked. Well, what they did this offseason was they added the reinforcements. Aaron Robinson, Adoree Jackson. They brought in guys, versatility. They can move them around. That's a big word in the Giants facility, guys being versatile. I expect this defense to still be a very good defense in this league. I don't see them taking a step back. It's not like they have aging players on there where you're wondering, okay, is this guy going to, you know, is he going to suddenly fall down that cliff? I don't see that. This is a young, ascending defense. Growing, they grew a lot last year. They're going to be even better, more comfortable this year. And I expect this defense, you know, I don't like to do top 10. I think it's going to be a very, very good defense in this league. And that secondary, it's hard to find another secondary or many secondaries better than what the Giants are going to be putting on the field, man. Unless guys get injured, I expect this Giants defense to be really, really good. This year, and the way that they built it with these young players for years to come as well.
Yep.
As for the offense, Daniel Jones and Jason Garrett are on the clock. Now, I think Jason Garrett's seat is very, very hot. I think if you followed what the Giants did with their coaching staff, giving guys new positions, new titles, I think
bringing in new coaches,
right? Russ Callaway is a guy. If you guys have not looked into Russ Callaway, I want you guys to look into him, read up about him, read about where he came from, how he ended up at LSU, now with the Giants. Very interesting guy. A lot of people talk very highly about him and his sort of his overall offensive philosophy. And I think he is a guy that if you don't know him now, he could be somebody Giants fans know probably by next year.
You're talking interim OC status, Jason Garrett's successor, maybe someone on the team brings in
with the Joe Brady connection. There's no Joe Brady connection, by the way. He came the year Joe Brady left.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. There's no Joe Brady connection there. I thought there was, but there isn't. But just his overall philosophy, I want people to sort of look into him because I think you're going to be hearing his name a lot, especially if Jason Garrett struggles. But I think, like I said, Garrett's seat is very hot. The Giants are not going to wait for him. We talked about it with the Kadarius Toney pick. They're not going to wait on Jason Garrett to adapt. And then Daniel Jones, it's a big year for him. Look, I put weight into what Dave Gettleman said today, right? And I know people will say, well, that's just him being a GM. When you ask a GM about another quarterback and you tell him, hey, would you consider trading for this quarterback? I know it's Aaron Rodgers. And I know that he's Aaron Rodgers. But when he comes out and says, look, we're going to explore everything, to me, that signals, hey, I know I got my guy. I'm confident in Daniel Jones. But that doesn't mean that that's going to stop me from exploring other things. And I think what Dave Gettleman is basically saying is, I'm confident Daniel Jones can become a franchise quarterback, but he's not there yet, and he's got to show that he can be that. We've done our part. We've given him weapons. Saquon Barkley's coming back. Now it's time for him to sort of show us that he can be that franchise quarterback. So both Garrett and Daniel Jones are very much on the hot seat. I would say Jason Garrett's more on the hot seat, but the clock has started. It has started on Daniel Jones.
Agreed. All right, you can take the next one.
All right. I know Dave Gettleman said he has more faith in the offensive line than everyone else, but what is the likelihood we bring in Trey Turner? I'd ask likelihood of a cut veteran, but don't know who they are yet unless they're rumored names. Trey Turner makes a lot of sense, and I wonder what his injury is. And to me, bringing in Turner would be, I mean, he sort of checks all the boxes, the Dave Gettleman connection. He's still available. I'm a little bit weary because I think that they would have brought him in already. They brought in Zach Fulton. I don't know if that's the only veteran interior offensive lineman they're going to bring in, but I personally would bring in Trey Turner, man. I think he's a guy that I haven't given up on. I know he was really, really bad last year, but like I said, 2 years ago he was in the Pro Bowl, and he was a deserving Pro Bowler. He wasn't an Evan Engram Pro Bowler.
Trey Turner or not Trey Turner, I would be shocked if they didn't bring in anyone else. Yeah. Shocked.
They benched Will Hernandez last year. Will Hernandez last year. All of a sudden, a year later, they're basically handing him a starting job. I just don't see that. I think there's going to be competition.
My turn, I guess.
Yeah.
From Ty, over under on weeks Jason Garrett will survive if he doesn't make huge changes this year. I'm putting week 6 on it. I know every year we do this, we essentially say, okay, which coach is going to get fired and when's the Giants' bye week? To me, it's week 6. I talked about earlier the Giants' organizational philosophy and how they seem to finally all be on the same page and the correct page. That goes from the owner to the GM to the head coach. And the head coach is, in my opinion, a lot of these changes coincided with him coming into this organization. It was very, very clear from day one, based on where Joe Judge came from and a lot of the actions he took early on, who was brought in that was his choice versus who was brought in that was pushed on him by Dave Gettleman and John Mara. And we saw with, I keep forgetting, was it Callahan? Who's the offensive line coach that they got into a fight? Well, I always forget his name.
Oh, shoot. You got me drawing blanks. Holy cow. He was a former, Mark Colombo.
Mark Colombo. I don't know why I thought it was Callahan. Mark Colombo and bringing in DeGuglielmo as the consultant. How am I remembering Dave DeGuglielmo, but I'm not remembering
Mark Colombo?
Mark Colombo.
It's because of your fear of Joe Judge.
Exactly. So, right, and it was made clear almost immediately that Jason Garrett was a Mara Gettleman hire. They wanted that quote-unquote head coaching experience as offensive coordinator to help Joe Judge along.
I think COVID played a big role too.
Sure, whatever. Yeah. But point being, they bring in all these other offensive assistants to help with the offense. They draft, I'll call him a gadget player. He's much more, but a very versatile player in Kadarius Toney. They go out and they sign Kenny Golladay. they are essentially giving Jason Garrett the roadmap for how they want this offense run. And if it's not run that way, hit the road, Jack. You're out of here. And they have the pieces in place to collectively put the offense on the field that they want to run, and that's going to be most effective in 2021. I'm giving it until week six. I'm going to be very surprised, I'll say, if there aren't immediate noticeable differences to the offense. I know it's tough to teach an old dog new tricks, but I'm just saying, man, based on the players they brought in. We're seeing it with Dave. The players they brought in, what the GM and the head coach are saying, the other coaching staff pieces that they brought in, I would be very surprised if we did not see some immediate offensive philosophies shift to the more modern-day approach.
You say week six, man. I think it's week four. There's just too much pressure on this offense. There's too much pressure on Daniel Jones. There's too much pressure on Dave Gettleman. They spent a lot of money bringing in Kenny Golladay. They used the number 20 pick on Kadarius Toney. This offense has to hit the ground running. It cannot afford a slow start. I'm going to put it at week four, dude. I think if by week four this offense is not competing at a high level, they will make the change. Because we're literally seeing them bring in people and give them roles where they're going to have more say in the offense. So the writing to me is on the wall. Like I said, they're not going to wait for Jason Garrett to adjust. They have already adjusted for Jason Garrett. If he doesn't buy in, then out the door he goes.
Yep. Your turn.
If Daniel Jones has another year like last year, are the Giants going to move on?
This one's from Jeff. Yeah, I think they are.
Yes. It is. Like I said, this is the year, man. It has to work, or Dave Gettleman is gone, Daniel Jones is gone, Jason Garrett is gone, and the Giants will look to another way. There is a lot of pressure on people.
In a normal draft, I would say no. And it would be very Giants to just stick with Dan Jones throughout the entirety of his rookie contract. But given the fact that they're going to have likely a top 10 pick paired with their first and the other late round picks that they got, and they still have their 2023 first, there are no excuses. Because if it is apparent, I mean, the guy had 11 touchdowns last year. Yeah. Like, I don't care whose offense you're playing in. That is just an unacceptable number. He had the same number of touchdowns as turnovers. Like, it just can't happen. And one thing that I think we both learned from the 2018 draft, and we've continued to learn over the last 3 or 4 years, is that you do this with most players, but you especially do this with quarterback. You draft for upside. What is Daniel Jones' upside? I didn't see what the upside was when they drafted him in 2019. I haven't seen it in his first 2 years. So if the upside's not there and he's not showing that there's something there, they just got to bring it out of him, then they've put the pieces in motion to go out there and replace him.
He's got athleticism. We know he's got a lot more speed than what we knew. He's got to improve as a pocket passer. Got to cut turnovers. There's no excuses, man, for this offense. There's really no more excuses. I don't want to hear about the offensive line. The investments were made in the offensive line. It's time to produce, and it's time to sort of take this offense to the next level. I got a question for you, and I think we'll end it with this, because this is a question that a lot of people have asked me, people on Twitter, sort of my friends. What is your expectation for the Giants? Like, what would they need to do for you to be like, okay, this season was a success?
I think a lot of people are expecting me to put out a record, like a win-loss number. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm not... think the Cowboys are the division favorite. I still don't understand all the hate on Washington football team. I think the Eagles are going to be fucking awful. But to me, I would consider this a successful season, simply put, if this team is averaging more than 24 points per game.
That is a really, really low bar. To me, two things. The Giants need to make the playoffs. They need to make the playoffs. I don't care if it's the seventh wild card spot or they win the division. They need to make the playoffs. And secondly, they need to do it because of their offense, not in spite of their offense. I would hate for them to make the playoffs as a team that averaged 19 points per game, but just had an insanely great defense. Because in that case, we still don't
have the game. Last year, the Giants' offense averaged 17.5 points per game. I'm asking for a full touchdown more. Which would put them roughly league average.
League average offense that makes the playoffs, I'm good with. Right? But I want to see... I need the question answered about whether Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback. Because if it doesn't get answered this year, then the Giants are in a really tough spot. Because his rookie contract's then on the back end, and we still don't have the question answered. So that I need that answered, and I need this team to be a playoff team. I need the Giants to make the playoffs. It has been 5 years since they made the playoffs, that short stint with what happened with Green Bay. It's been a decade since they've won a playoff game. I'm going to take it one step further. They need to make the playoffs, and they need to win a playoff game. Okay?
I think your expectations are a tad lofty.
When you look at this roster, yes, the offensive line is in question. I know the edge rush, there's some inexperience. But they have a very good secondary. They have a very good skill position players. And this roster is not a bad roster. It is an above-average roster, in my opinion. And I think the time is now. They need to make the playoffs. They need to win a playoff game. It's been 10 fucking years, man. It's time to compete. It's time to compete. I'm setting the bar. I don't think I'm setting the bar high. I think after 4 years of building, I know you made some mistakes, but the last 2 years have been good. We talked about it. They did a very good job last offseason. They did a very good job this offseason. That's two offseasons. You won 6 games last year. I'm asking for those 6 games to go to maybe 9 games or 10 games, and you to finally win make the playoffs and win a playoff game.
Okay.
Your division is not as good as... I know Dallas is Dallas. I still think Dallas has a lot of questions on defense. Washington Agreed. Is playing Ryan Fitzpatrick. Philadelphia, you talked about, is in shambles. Even if you split with Dallas, you should be able to handle Washington and Philadelphia. And you should be able to compete for this division and make the playoffs, man. I'm done with losing football. This roster is good enough.
All right.
There you have it.
All right.
Can't call me negative, man, because I'm setting the ball high. People might even call me negative, but I'm setting the bar high. Right? And if you're going to get mad at me.
The people just don't know.
The people don't know, man. The people don't know. I like what the Giants have done. Their roster is good enough to be a playoff roster.
Yes. All right. Let's wrap it up. Almost at an hour. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.